You see, we come from our mother's womb, the Bible tells us. We are conceived and we are born in sin. So we are laid in the cradle to begin with in a state of separation from God, on the wrong road, the wrong pathway, that is. When you're finally, at last, laid in the grave, what road will you be on then? Will there have been a change of direction, a change of pathway? In the Bible, God tells us that if we are to know eternal life, if we are to end up at the right destination, then there has to be a change of course. There has to be an alteration in the pathway that we are traveling. Now, in the Bible, God gives us some signposts to direct us to the right pathway. In the Bible, God makes it clear to us that this world is not ours. It's not man's. It's God's. He created it. That's the first signpost. You see, in the Bible, God makes it clear that it is clear to us, whether we care to acknowledge it or not, is clear to us, as clear you might say, as the nose on your face, that God exists. Because of all the things that He has made, you see, contrary to the thoughts of evolution, God, His wisdom and His power can be seen clearly in all the things that are made. So He says, whoever you are, and wherever you come from, whatever your background, whatever your color or creed, whether you live in the Amazon jungle, or whether you live in a concrete jungle, in New York City, or Manchester City, it is clear, and therefore, whoever you are, O man, says God, you are without excuse for not knowing that God exists. You see, God created everything, the heavens and the earth. He created you. He created you in love, for love, to be loved, and to love. The sum of God's commandments, Jesus tells us, is to love God with all of our hearts and to love our neighbors in the same way that you love yourself. And here you see is God's very first indictment against us, every single one of us. We owe a debt of love to God. We haven't loved Him. If that is, you have not loved God with all of your being, every year and every month and every day and every hour of your existence since your life began, that makes you a breaker of just the first commandment. That's without all the rest. But you see, the outworking of that is, in our society, in your city here in Manchester, and throughout the world, the damage that this causes, you see, we don't love one another the way that God requires us to. There's no love in our world, there is no love in our society, no love in your homes, and no love in your hearts, no love for one another. In fact, the very opposite. We hate one another, violate one another. We do the most incredible inhuman things to one another. Why? Because we do not know God's love. Because we don't love Him. And because we lack that experience of God's love. It is only when you come to know the Creator's love, when you come to know and understand that God made you for this, to be loved and to love, when you experience the God of love. Now you see, this is a whole different matter from religion. There are many, many religions, you know, the world over, and you might have the question in your mind, well, how can we know which one is right? Well, what we are presenting to you here this afternoon is not religion at all, but a person, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came into the world that we might know God's love. Now you see, many of these world religions, you see the activities that many of them, not all of them, but many of them are involved in. Maiming and killing, bombing and terrorizing. Well, the Bible says that God is love, and the person who has been born of God is a person who, like God, loves. No murderer has eternal life. So people might do these things in God's name, but God says, no, no you don't. You don't do it, he says, in my name. I created the universe, he said, and I created man, and woman of course that is. I created human beings to love them and to be loved. And here's the great tragedy of human sin, is that we don't love the one who created us in love, and we don't love one another. And so you see, we automatically, or should I say naturally, we take the wrong road right from the beginning. You see, we do things wrong. Why? Have you ever asked yourself a question when sometimes maybe you've done or said something wrong? Why did I do that? I knew it was wrong, but I still did it. And why do I keep doing it? I know it's wrong, but I can't seem to stop myself. Well, here's the answer. It's in the Bible. It's in God's Word. God says that we were born in sin. That is, we are by nature, we are sinful human beings. And because we have sinful natures, we do sinful, that is, we do things wrong. So in order to change that, you have to change the nature of the person. You say, how on earth can we possibly do that? Well, it takes a miracle from God. It's what Jesus means when he says that a man or woman must be born again. In the Bible, God poses one or two questions. One is this: can you bring a clean thing out of an unclean thing? Answer: impossible. Another question is, can you change the spots on a leopard? You say impossible. That's his natural state and condition. It's an impossibility to change it. Of course it is. With you, can you, says God, who are accustomed to doing evil, can you do good? Impossible, says God, unless that is, there's a miracle of transformation, a rebirth, a new life given to you, and a new nature. I guarantee you, you can take a pig out of the muck, and you can put a tie on it, you can hose it down, put a dinner jacket on it, and sit it down at your table. But I guarantee you this, take your eyes off it for one moment, and it'll be straight back into the muck, because that's its natural bent, to live and to wallow in the mire, in the muck. And we people are just the same. You see, we can take you out of a sinful environment, but take our eyes off you for one moment, and you're back into the sin, back into your natural dwelling place. Sin, people, you see, we naturally sin because we are sinners by nature. And so, unless our natures are changed, and you can't do that, I can't do that, you go into any store in Manchester and you ask the attendant, say, can you give me something some commodity that will make me a different person, change my nature, my character, and make me loving, kind, and good. Well, I guarantee you, they'll just laugh you out of the store. People, there's only one person can do that for you, and that's God. But that's why he sent his son Jesus into the world. You see, to rescue you from that wrong road, that wrong pathway, and get you onto the right pathway. Now, again, I have to say it. Religion can't do this for you. Religion, you see, is just a mess of rules that have been devised by human beings. A person, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and God the Son, he is the person, the only person, who can work this miracle of grace in you and give you a new nature. Jesus, believing, trusting in him, brings salvation and transforms a person, transforms their nature, that is, gives them a new nature. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. This is God's salvation, shifting you, sinful, stubborn, willful, sinful men and women, from the wrong pathway, the broad pathway that leads to eternal destruction, and taking them, leading them onto the right pathway, the one that leads to eternal life. So you see, the problem is, you might say, well, I'm quite happy, I'm quite comfortable to remain on the broad pathway, on this wrong pathway, as you call it. But the trouble is, we're heading for trouble as long as we're on the wrong pathway. It will lead you into trouble in this life, in this world. You see, it's not all just about eternity. Some of it is, a great deal of it is, but not all. What about your life? What about your world? What about your society? All the trouble, all the social problems and evils that you see in the world around you today, and maybe perhaps in your own homes and in your own lives, maybe people even in your own hearts, all the trouble that you see is caused by one thing, and it's this principle of sin that lies, that lives in each and every one of us. The common denominator that binds us all together as a human race is that we are all of us sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the Bible says. There is none of us who seeks after God, none of us who understands spiritually. We are none of us, God says, none of us good. So you see, we're heading for trouble, and we're heading for more trouble. The world is just going to grow worse and worse, the Bible tells us. Sin multiplies with each and every generation, growing more and more wicked until the end comes. So you see, you're heading for trouble in this life, in this world, but then, of course, in the world to come, eternity. You see, the Bible says, contrary to what many people believe these days, they say, when you're dead, you're dead. That's the end of it all. My suffering, my pain, all my troubles will be over when I'm dead. No, says God, they won't. It is appointed for man once to die. None of us can escape that. But then, says God, after this, then comes the judgment. So you see, people, It's not the end of the story. Death does not bring it to a conclusion, not at all. Then we stand before God and we have to give account for what we are and for what we've done, what we said, and even what we've thought. In the Bible it says, seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. You see, even our thought lives are sinful, says God, and need to be repented of. Jesus says that we will give account for every idle word. That's phenomenal. That's awesome. That's terrifying if you're on the wrong road. Which road are you on? The broad one that leads to eternal destruction? The wrong one or the right one? Following Jesus, the one that leads to eternal, everlasting life. But the good news is this, that God sent his Son into the world. Christ Jesus, the Bible says, came into the world to save, that is to rescue sinners, to rescue them from that natural condition, to rescue them from the wrong road and to bring them onto the right road. Listen to what the Bible says. Christ died for sins once and for all time. The one who did what is right died for those who don't do right. He died to bring you to God. That's what Jesus came for. He was born to die. And he died on the cross, not because he had done wrong, but because you've done wrong and I've done wrong. He died that by trusting in him and what he did, his death, his blood shed for sinners on the cross, that we might be forgiven and be accepted by God. There is no other way, the Bible says, by which a man can be accepted of God. Only through Jesus and his sacrifice that he made for sin. So you see, it's not just good news, it's fantastic news that Jesus came to rescue not the goody-goodies, the bad guys, people like you and me. You see, Jesus gives us a catalogue in the Bible of those he came for. He says he came for the brokenhearted. He said he came to set the captives free. He came to give eyesight to the blind. Well, you see, you might be blind to the reality of God this afternoon. You might be blind to the reality of your sin and blind to the reality of a future eternity. But Jesus is the one person who can open your eyes and give you spiritual eyesight. He's the one who can heal the brokenhearted sinner who's offended God and is cut off from God. He is the one who can set the prisoner free from his bondage, his imprisonment by sin. Is it not true, people, that many of the sinful habits that you've gathered, that you've gotten involved in, do they not take the very life out of you, and do you not crave to be free of them? Well, there's only one person who can set you free from them, and that's Jesus Christ, the one who came into the world, sent by God to rescue sinful men and women. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. But of course it didn't finish just simply with the death of God's Son. 3 days later, The Bible says, this is the gospel, that Jesus Christ died for sinners, just as the Bible predicted, said many, many years before. And after that, after 3 days, again, just as the Bible predicted he should do, Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. Now, people, if Jesus had not risen from the dead, you could have forgotten, the world could have forgotten everything that Jesus said and everything that he did. So why is it, after 2,000 years, that the world still can't get rid of Jesus, even though they try? Because Jesus is not dead. He's alive, and he's alive forevermore. And able, as a result of this, to justify sinful men and women before God and give new life to them. He was proved, the Bible says, demonstrated by the power of his resurrection to be exactly who he claimed to be, the Son of God with power. So you see, we don't worship and we don't follow a dead prophet, but a risen Savior who's alive and able, oh believe me, able to live and dwell in your heart and change and transform you for the better. But here we come to the crossroads, where the two roads divide. The broad road that leads to destruction, the narrow road that leads to eternal life. You see, every time you hear the gospel, every time you hear Jesus Christ presented to you, God brings you to a crossroad, a point of decision, a place where you must choose which road you're going to walk down. Now you might choose the way of the world, the way of religion. You might choose the way of good works and say to me this afternoon, no, my way is okay, thank you very much. It's done me good up to this point. I see no need to change. Well, people, you choose that route. You go the broad road, and that's the popular one. That's the one that most people travel down. People, I have to warn you, just as Jesus does, it ends. The end of it is catastrophe. The end of it is eternal destruction. But should you choose the right pathway, should you choose the one that Jesus would have you to choose, the narrow pathway, the one that's not quite so popular, well, says Jesus, he assures you that that people, that will end in eternal life, eternal bliss, heaven with God, as opposed to hell. But of course, entering into the right pathway, the narrow one that is, well, that means that you've chosen that route and you follow that route. It means to follow Jesus right to the very end of your life and then to be with him for all eternity. Now, I have to say that there are many people who profess to be Christians in these days. But whether you could call them followers of Jesus, that's another matter. You see, a person who has truly believed, truly trusted in Jesus, and know that their sins are forgiven, and know that he has risen again from the dead to justify them and to make them right with God and given them new life, well, that means that they've become followers of Jesus. A And they go where he goes. They go where he leads them. That is, they read the Bible, they read his word, they receive his instruction, and they live by his instruction. That's what it means to be a Christian, to be a follower of Jesus. There are some people who profess to be born again, profess to be Christians, churchgoers, and all the rest of it, but you see no change in their lives. No before and after, no transformation, nothing of all things becoming new. But this is what the Bible says constitutes a Christian. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. There has been a change of direction altogether, you see. So to change, to alter course, well, let me give you some pointers. Let me help you towards the right path. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord, Jesus that is, shall be saved. Saved that is from sin's penalty, saved from its power, and saved from its presence. So there is a hint, there's a clue as to where you begin. By calling on Jesus, that is, praying to him, acknowledging first and foremost that you have sinned and come short of God's glory, that you are on the wrong pathway and have been all your life long until this point. So you acknowledge your sin, you confess your sin, because God says that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins when we confess them to him. But we confess our sins to God and God alone, not to another human being. Jesus is the only one who has the authority to say to any person, your sins are forgiven. No pope, no priest, no pastor, no vicar has that authority, has that power. Only Jesus, he alone. So it's to him that you confess your sins. You acknowledge your sin and you believe. You put your trust not in what you've done and not in what you can do, but putting your trust in Jesus and what he did on the cross for sinful people such as yourself. Asking Jesus to forgive you, to come into your heart and life and give you new life and direct you to the new and the right pathway, the one that leads to eternal life. So, acknowledging, believing, and following from that point onwards, reading God's Word, reading the Bible day by day, and following the instructions of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you see, at the end of the day, it's all quite and very simple. God's ways are always simple. They're not complicated. He gave us the Bible, and he's given you the Bible in your own language for you to read for yourself and check these things out and see that they're so. This is the sole and the only guide to God, to his forgiveness, to salvation, and to heaven. God's Word, the Bible. This is an extract from the Bible entitled Mark's Gospel. It's offered to you free of charge, no cost or obligation to you. Yours to take and read, girls. You have one?
Yeah.
There you go. You're welcome.
Keep it.
Aye. Go away and read it. Enjoy it. Have a nice day.
You too.
Thank you. So it's that simple, you see. just like the young ladies have taken those copies of God's Word, well, you could go even better. You could take and you could receive the Son of God, Jesus Christ, to be your Savior right here this afternoon. Never mind the mockers. Never mind the scoffers beside you. It doesn't matter what man thinks about you. It's what God thinks about you. That's what you should be worried about, not man. So you see, people, God's Word offered to you, no charge, no cost, no obligation to you, yours to take, read, and come to your own conclusions. It's God's Word. It's powerful. It's dynamite. People, to blow you out of your sins and into the arms of a God of love who wants to change you, transform you into a creature of love. That's what God made you for in the beginning. To be loved, to know love, experience love, and to love God and love your neighbor as yourself. You'd like to have a copy of God's Word? We got plenty here. You come and ask for one. God bless you.
Thank you.
Is that right?
Yeah, dude.
Is it clear?
Oh, yeah.